We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will speak to our hearts. Amen. Hello. A funny impression as I started the service. I looked out and there are all these familiar faces. I thought, what am I doing here? you should be teaching me, really. That's how it felt. Something about being together with people one knows so well. It's a bit hard to stand and become a teacher all of a sudden. Well, there is some work for you to do during this, okay, so please teach me as well. We wear many different clothes in our lives. We probably wear baby clothes, although we don't remember it. We probably wore school uniform, during my era anyway. You may have worn graduation clothes for a day or two. You may have worn wedding clothes, whether it was your wedding or you were going to one. You may wear travel clothes from time to time. You may wear smart clothes. You may wear casual clothes. You probably certainly wear denim from time to time. One day you might wear hospital clothes. One day we'll wear grave clothes. We wear many clothes. Jesus didn't seem to have too many clothes. There was the lovely seamless garment stripped from him as they cast lots. And yet he still was clothing himself in love to us from the cross. And I think it was that verse from the Romans passage which came to me. I had been going to various churches in the deanery, a bit like old times, and the churches locally have been following Romans. So when Roger said, which reading shall we have? I said, we'll do the Romans, because I'm used to that recently. So thank you, Chris, for reading that Romans passage. And we get that wonderful verse 14, Romans 13:14. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it lovely? Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. This context here is, don't carry on in these sinful ways that we used to have, and perhaps some of us can look back to those days if we know a conversion. Days we'd sooner not think about, days where we didn't want to be that person anymore. No more of that, said Paul, no more. It gives us an imperative. This verb is imperative. Clothe yourself, which is do it. This is a do it. This is an imperative. To clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've only ever had one suit made to measure. And I think I was about this high. Came from a family of tailors, actually. Refugee tailors. Who probably wouldn't be welcome today. And they loved tailoring, but Dan was really keen on cloth and material, and he could do great things with a sewing machine. So could his mum and dad, and they loved alterations and nip here, tuck there, invisible seams. You know, I never had trouble with altering my school trousers, it was down to dad. But when I was this age, it was a made to measure, off to Burton's to be measured up. And do you remember Burton's? We're all of a similar age. Sorry if you don't remember Burton's. Measured up, tape measure. And they asked me this question towards the end of the fitting. They said, how many buttons do you want? Being this higher, I asked what I thought was a perfectly sensible question. I said, where? Now all the adults thought that was hilarious. Yeah. I thought, well, there's usually buttons, you know, probably here I've seen, and you may have a fly of buttons, but and they thought it was hilarious. Well, they were talking about the buttons that go down the jacket, of course, and then I had to make a choice. Isn't it interesting that some people take things for granted that some of us just don't understand? And I felt quite humiliated as a child that they should laugh at me for what I felt was a very sensible question. I felt humiliated for what seems incredibly sensible, faith in Jesus. Seems eminently sensible to us, doesn't it? We can't imagine life without. But sometimes we get humiliated. So what does it mean to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's a bit of work for you, okay? I'm going to give us 3 or 4 minutes, chat with someone you come with, or turn around, what does it mean, be clothed with Jesus? It's a metaphor, of course. What does it mean, clothed with Jesus? And what are these clothes like? What does it mean, and what are the clothes like? I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes with each other. Off you go. Waking up now, eh? You could talk for an hour about it and more, no doubt. And anybody willing to share a nugget of, you know, real genuine wisdom? Or any nuggets? Yell something out at me, someone. Identity in Christ. You don't have to say, what do you look like? Or worse to the effect, my identity. It's not about what I look like. Lovely, thanks, mate.
One of the things we talked about was the clothes that you wear, and you're immersed in the clothes. They surround you, like the love of Christ can surround us. But equally, they are some things which we can choose to put on or not. We have a choice whether we want to accept Christ or not accept Christ. And in that sense, you know, for each one of us, we have that sense of commitment to the clothes that we're wearing, and we choose not to have that commitment.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. We have a choice about what we wear. And there's an immersion, this identity of Christ. And we can put on bits or not some bits. That picks up something in a minute. Thank you. Yes?
So, when you wear clothes when you meet somebody, your clothes are attacking the person that people see.
Aye.
So if you're clothed in Christ, Christ should be the first thing they see when they look at us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, wow. Thank you. Set the bar down. Nice one, thank you. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. We asked someone, we're great Italy lovers, you might remember that, and over in Italy we got chatting, and we wondered how they always knew we were English. How do you know English? Was it shown for what they said? No, it's your clothes. Yes. It's unfashion conscious Brits. Anyway, thank you for that. People see Christ when they see you. What a lovely challenge. Anything else? I've got one or two things to share. I'd say first they're love clothes. They're clothes of love, of course. The longer you go on, it's all about love, isn't it? God is love. God is love. He loved us, so he died for us. He loves us. He loves us. They're the clothes we wear. They're love clothes. Jesus preached love. We've heard it, the fulfillment of the law. Love one another. Why do you have to keep saying it? Love one another. And of course, Romans is really, really interested in the community of love. Paul had this wonderful vision, which I think we see lived out in the Acts of the Apostles. We're so far from it today, of devotion to each other. At the start of this passage, let no debt remain outstanding except the debt to love one another. We're indebted to love one another. Going back into chapter 12, love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another. Honour one another. They're lovely words. Devotion, honour. Does that characterise the Christian community? That's what we're building, a community of love. Goodness me, if love isn't a part of our community, you wonder if God's there anymore. God is love. Where He is, there's love. Weep with those who weep because you love each other. Mourn with those who mourn because you love each other. Rejoice with each other's news because you love each other. And that love spills out. We wear these clothes of love in the community and as we spill out. And after retirement, I thought I'd get involved with the Arden Food Bank. So I went along to a meeting. I was actually going to explain the work of Acts 4:35. And I actually, do you know what I imagined when I went? I imagined I was going to a meeting of secular social workers who run food banks. And I felt a little bit nervous about going there as a Christian, as you do. And I opened the door, and it was, well, there are some people, you probably won't know their names. It was half of the church from Ulster, and half the church from Studley, sitting around the table. Well, it was a wonderful surprise. It's the Christians that are running these things. It's so exciting. Not everybody, of course, but there's the initiative. And listening to the Trustful Trust recently, the umbrella body for food banks, you're probably involved with them, with the food kitchen you're doing. There's over 800 food banks in churches. I love that. They're the clothes of Jesus Christ, aren't they? The love clothes. There's other characteristics in these clothes, and Paul will name them later on. Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 12, clothe yourselves with compassion. Suffer with people. Compassion. Kindness. Humility. Gentleness. Patience. You could spend an hour on each word, meditating on it, praying for God to give us these articles of clothing which we only wish we could wear more regularly. Perhaps I'll speak personally. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Yeah, that's like Jesus. With kindness. It doesn't take a lot to be kind, but goodness me, our hearts sometimes when we get embittered and fed up and hold grudges. And humility. How we need humility from our leaders. We're not the best. We can learn from others. Gentleness. I love gentleness. Jesus said, because I am gentle and my yoke is easy. Gentleness is a characteristic of Christ. We're not used to that. We love strong leaders. They don't always get us very far, do they? Gentle, humble, patient, kind people. And we do this because we're deeply loved, as I said in the middle of our worship. Because we're deeply loved, the clothes we put on start to shine as the moon shines because of the sun. We shine because of the love of God, who loves us so much. And as we put on His clothes, they shine with His love and His light, because they're His clothes. Bishop Simon Barrington Ward was a great spiritual hero of mine, and I used to love spending time with him. Smiley, kind, gentle, wise, ridiculously encouraging. And as you left, you felt better. You'd come out of his presence feeling slightly more noble. slightly shiny. Because you've been with someone who loved you deeply. And that's what love does, doesn't it? Love makes us shine. We are deeply loved. Remember Moses' face. He's been in the presence of love. He's shining. Love makes us shine. Love makes other people shine. Love each other. Make each other shine. Because God transforms us. And He wants to transform us. So that we can be transforming people. It's Tom Wright, isn't it, who writes, God wants transformed and transforming people. I'd say the clothes are available. I think Mark picked this up. It's our choice. They're available. There's no cost. It may cost you everything to wear them. But they're free. It's a given. Put these clothes on. Life will never be the same again. We've been having to raise so much money for school uniform recently. But these clothes are free. They're free. Put them on. And when Christ was stripped and beaten, he was still wearing them. I love the verse that says here, and I feel a strength in this, where Paul writes, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. Can you feel his hope? The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. I love that verse. You've moved on. You've moved on since 2009 when we left. I've moved on since those days. We're nearer to our salvation than just 14 years ago. And nearer to when these believers began. We've moved on. God loves the people of Ukraine. But what do we say to them today? God loves the people of Morocco. What do we say to them today? God loves the poor people of Russia. What do we say to them today? I'm so glad we can say to them, the night is nearly over. What a lovely message we have for them. Hard to say they're loved, as they're sitting on a heap of the most appalling suffering. I used to feel this as a chaplain, when there was much suffering surrounding, so much, and so much seemed to go on and on and on and on and on. But there was one thing one felt able to say. The day will come. We believe that, don't we, as Christians? There is a start and there is a end. The day will come. Otherwise, it's all pretty meaningless, isn't it? If this suffering, these wars, these tragedies, they go on and on and on and on, and people's lives are smashed apart. If there's no justice to the oppressed, for those oppressors, if there's no justice, isn't it all about meaningless? Do they just get away with it? No. Paul writes, the night is nearly over. And I want to say that to them. The night is nearly over. And if you're a suffering one, deeply, deeply suffering, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. Do you ever notice, after disasters, a period of great light? I'm putting in mind of the Manchester bombing. Dreadful. And then suddenly, aid workers, firefighters, goodness, kindness, community spirit growing where it wasn't before. And the same thing happens in disasters. There is dreadful darkness. And suddenly the light comes. And we see it and we hear about it. We hear of heroics and rescues and sacrifice and love. And if anybody says to you, well, where is God today? Say, there he is. He still shows himself. He shows his hand when there is deep, deep night time. And the light comes. Yeah, that's God. Why is that happening? And because it's night time, we need light. We need people dressed as Jesus, in clothes of light that are shining, into this nighttime world. We need those clothed in Christ, who bring love and goodness and light where it's desperately needed. need people to work with the light of the world. So when you get dressed tomorrow, and you stick your clothes on, whether it's midlife denim, student clothes, whether it's grave clothes, getting closer, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us to